Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
My text today is based on the gospel reading, John's word in chapter 8 of his gospel. Most of those who are outside Christianity, who know anything at all about Christianity, know that we worship the Trinity. Now, those who are on the outside and are members of some other monotheistic, one-God religion, Jehovah's Witness, not Mormons, but Muslims and so forth, they would are overwhelmingly opposed to this doctrine of the Trinity and say that we are worshiping an idol and a made-up God. Now, there are many Christians who have no understanding or real appreciation of the struggle that went on in the first 3 or 4 centuries to bring this doctrine down to us. And in fact, I believe that there are many Christians who could not begin to defend this doctrine on the basis of Scripture. And therefore, I think that there are some Christians, and maybe a number of them, even in our synod, who are willing to acknowledge that other people who worship monotheistic gods are worshiping the one true God as if Trinity were just a flavoring to that one God that is not absolutely necessary to have the one true God. So how did we come to this very strange doctrine that we admit defies logic and that we ourselves call a mystery? Not the only one in Scripture. Truly, this doctrine was not assembled by philosophers or priests in some quiet study in the ivory towers of the church. Quite the opposite. This doctrine was forged into the creeds of the church in the fires of bitter persecution, especially by those who wrestled with the question that they're wrestling with in the text. Who is Jesus? There were some who answered this question only being bound by what Jesus said of himself. Those, in fact, who cannot or who will not bind themselves to these words of Jesus because of their reason or their logic will ultimately deny the Trinity. They cannot do otherwise. We know God only through Jesus. And we say this, we know God only through His revelation in the Son. That's why He came, so that we might see. No man has seen God. He that comes, myself, I'm the one who has made Him known. That the Father, no one knows the Father but the Son, and to whom the Son reveals Him. We see this in our text. So what I want to do is to take a step back today, to go back before the formulation, full formulation of the creeds, before there was ever a word that the church created called Trinity, into the first century or second century, maybe even the third century, and walk with those Christians who were battling on every side with the question, who is Jesus? Jesus wanted that confession. He drew it out of Peter, one of the most famous confessions, statements in the Scripture. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's other ones too. Jesus is Lord. Who is Jesus is a fundamental question. Now, when we are confronted with Jesus' words about himself, that is the source from which our creed was developed. It is the source from which the words of the Trinitarian Declaration were developed. Who is Jesus? We cannot escape that question with integrity. I'll tell you why, because the whole book is about him. The whole book of the Bible is about Jesus from beginning to end. So you cannot evade that question, as many religions who talk about the Bible try to do. You have to answer that question. Who is Jesus? Is he a prophet or more than a prophet? Is he a special created creature that was given supernatural powers before the universe was created, through whom God decided to create the universe? Is he the human head that God created over the human race? Is he a good man? A perfect man? Was he so perfect that God made him and brought him into the divinity to share it with him? Or is he God made flesh? Is he the one through whom God made the universe? Who was with God? Who was God? Do we see the face of God in the face of Jesus? The words from his lips, is this the voice of God? Is Mary the mother of God? Did God die on that cross? Is it right for any knee or every knee to bow in humble worship, divine worship, to Jesus and to call him Lord and God? Your answer to the question, who is Jesus, is fundamental to Christianity. Can't go further into Christianity without dealing with that question. A yes answer that he is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, a yes answer is an affirmation of the gospel. A no answer to that question, that Jesus is not these things we say he is a denial of the gospel and a substitution of another gospel. So far, so good. But then you say, you go back to the first century, second century, a yes answer to that question, he is the true God, leads us into an inescapable paradox with that other doctrine that can never be denied, and that God is one and there is no other. I mean, if we say that the Father of Jesus is God, and then we look at Jesus and say he is God, have not you created two gods? I mean, the disciples had to deal with that question. Are you no longer a monotheist? And some in early Christianity were struggling to answer that kind of question. They said, no, we're monotheist. And God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit, the way that we explain this is that these are simply titles. I'm a father, I'm a brother, I'm a son, and yet I'm only one. And so there are other analogies. And so Sibelius and others began to teach this doctrine that these are titles of God, that we're not worshiping three gods, or that these are modes by which God reveals himself to us, so that we are not worshiping three gods. But that explanation doesn't work, you see. A distinction between God the Father and God the Son was made clear even by Jesus himself. So you can't just say they're titles or modes. In our text, you see this distinction. I do not seek my own glory. There's one who seeks it, and he is judge. He's talking about his Father. I'm not the one seeking my glory. Another is seeking my glory. And then he goes on to say, if I glorify myself, it is nothing. But if it is my Father who glorifies me. Now, this is clearly distinct. It's a clear distinction that is actually emphasized by Jesus. We could go on scripture after scripture. In Galatians chapter 4, one of my favorite verses, God sent forth His Son to be born of a woman so that He might redeem those who have fallen under sin. The Father sent the Son into the world to be born of a woman. The Father's not born of the woman. The Son is born of the woman. Jesus adds to these people who are questioning Him the purpose for His coming, because they thought He was demonic. And Jesus had this accusation many times, and He had to answer this. No, I'm not demonic. Demons promote misery. Demons promote the curse. Demons are surrounded by darkness. Demons ultimately bring death. That's the whole problem. But my purpose is to conquer death. If anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. The Father sent the Son into the world to be the ransom for a mankind under the penalty of death, that He might deliver them from death. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise took part in the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death. And so He is not part of the demonic world, because He comes to destroy death. Now this confuses the Jews and say, now we know you're a demon. Because you see, Abraham died. Our father Abraham. And all the prophets who have gone before, they died. Are you greater than these prophets? Now, Jesus could have answered simply yes. But so they're questioning, who are you? Who do you make yourself out to be? That question always comes up. Now, first of all, just an aside, the meaning of Jesus saying he'll never taste death, He's not referring to physical death. He's referring to eternal death. That is death in hell. We all die physically, but we're not going to die eternally if we have Him. That's what He means. Nevertheless, He goes back to this question, are you greater? And then Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham was a believer in the Christ before he became a man. Abraham was a believer who rejoiced to see his day. The Son did not have a beginning in the womb of his mother Mary. The human nature began, but the Son did not begin in the womb. The Son is eternal and became a man in the womb of Mary. Now this utterly confused his enemies, and they said, so you've seen Abraham, have you? You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, if we have any English teachers, grammar teachers, that might kind of cause a cringe. If your child said something like this, you would say, no, you use the past tense when you speak of past time. Jesus should have said, before Abraham was, I was. But then he says, before Abraham was, I am. And the Greek is not wrong. And John is not wrong. Jesus is not wrong. He's saying this intentionally. I am. It's a description of his eternity. He is always present. He is not confined to time. But more importantly, perhaps, we look at the story in Exodus, where we see Moses stand before that burning bush and God speaking to him out of that burning bush, Yahweh, Jehovah. Who shall I say sent me? And God says to him out of that burning bush, tell them I am has sent you. What Jesus is saying is, I'm the one who spoke to Moses. I am Jehovah. I am Yahweh. Now, all of these claims seemed simply outrageous to these monotheistic Jews, and they picked up stones to stone him, because you're a heretic of the heretics in saying these things. So we go to the question, is there a true God without a confession or faith in the Trinity? There are many who say, yes, there is. What Jesus says, absolutely not. That is absolutely impossible. All other gods, even monotheistic ones, are different in nature, different in purpose, different in kind. They are, in fact, idols invented by the human reason, by man. These gods didn't create the universe in love through Christ. These gods do not reach into a sinful, dying world to rescue sinners. These gods don't send their own and beloved Son into the world or give the Holy Spirit to lead you to this God. Those who worship these gods do not know the true God, because he cannot be known outside of Christ. And this is what Jesus shows us in his other words in the text. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, you are saying he is our God. You Jews, you sons of Abraham, are saying he is our God. That one sent me, but you do not know him. You do not know the God of Abraham. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I'd be a liar like you, but I do know him and I keep his word. Now, if anyone in all the world had the one true God without the Trinity, it would be, we would say, the Jews. And if anyone knew this one true God by reason, it would be these Pharisees, these leaders of the church, these highly educated men who call themselves son of Abraham. But Jesus says to them, you have not known him. You, as educated as you are, do not know the God of Abraham, because he is only known and he's only worshipped in Christ. Without Christ, he's simply an idol. Rejection of the Son is rejection of the Father. Rejection of the Son is rejection of Abraham's God. Now, there are several religions, the Muslims, the Jews that have not Christ, Jehovah's Witness, and so forth, many religions would claim that they follow the God of Abraham, of the Bible. But rejection of the Son is rejection of Abraham's God, clearly in the words of Jesus. Rejection of the Son is rejection of Abraham's faith, the faith that the Scripture teaches even from Old Testament. It's a rejection of that faith, because Abraham did believe in Jesus. Abraham's believed God, and God credited to him for righteousness. He was saved in the same way that we are saved. Many today claim the God of Abraham as their God, and Jesus denies it. Denial of the Trinity is a denial of the incarnation of God. Denial of the incarnation is a denial that God came into the world and lived a holy life to fulfill the commandments in our place to have us a righteousness. It is denial that God died on the cross, the only infinite sacrifice that could be made, by which you now wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb. Denial of the Trinity is denial of salvation provided through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Without the Trinity, there remains only a God of the law, only a wilderness of sin, only the curse, only death. Today we praise the Holy Spirit, who has led us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the true God made flesh. Today we praise God the Son, who entered into human nature, who lived our life that we could not live, who died our death to take death away, to make us his own and to show us his Father, and to say he is now your Father. God be praised God the Father be praised, who made us and who sent us his Son to redeem us. God be praised, who has adopted each one of us in baptism by name and bestowed upon us his name, the holy name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.